dogged by allegations of harassment, hospitalized this morning for a stress-related condition. That's according to his spokesman, Sam Riddle.
Mrs. Conyers is by his side, and we just ask really the nation to pray for this congressman that has done so much for the nation.
A former staffer in Conyers' office speaking publicly, Maria Brown tells NBC she was fired for refusing his sexual advances.
It was serious. I did it 3 years ago. And Congressman Conyers came out and called me a liar, basically. So I'm here to say that I'm not a liar.
Brown received a settlement paid out by the congressman's office budget. The attorney general on Capitol Hill this morning answering more questions in the Russia meddling investigation. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions said nothing as he passed reporters on his way to the secure facility where the House Intelligence Panel meets. The committee is also due to hear today from former Blackwater CEO Eric Prince, who was reported to have tried to set up a back channel between Team Trump and Russia. CBS News has learned presidential son-in-law Jared Kushner met with special counsel Robert Mueller's team earlier this month for what sources say was a talk about former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
A court appearance in Tampa, Florida this morning for the 24-year-old McDonald's worker, Howell Donaldson, arrested in the serial neighborhood.
Mr. Donaldson charged with four counts of murder in the first degree, premeditated. And currently, there's no bond on any of your four counts.
U.S. stock rallies to push the Dow above 24,000 for the first time ever. Dow up in early trading, 115 points to 24,063. This is CBS News.
Attention small business owners, you know how hard it is to get funding to grow your business. Next Wave Funding is a direct funder that can help you get the cash you need when you need it, even if your credit is not that great. If you've been in business for over 1 year, have at least $12,000 in sales every month, Next Wave will purchase your future earnings and give you the money you need. It's as simple as that. This is by far the easiest and best funding for existing businesses. Call 800-430-4566. That's 800-430-4566.
Spearfishing has or will strike your business, wreaking havoc on your employees, brand, and your bottom line. Spearfishing can't be stopped by traditional email security solutions because messages appear to be legitimate from your boss, a trusted colleague, or a vendor asking you to wire money, confirm login credentials, or worse. Barracuda Sentinel is artificial intelligence for real-time spearfishing and cyber fraud defense. Reclaim your email in minutes with zero impact on network performance. Visit barracuda.com/AI.
There's new hope for people with migraines.
A new drug has significant.
And good morning. I'm Brian Barnhart in the DWS newsroom. A look at your forecast from Greg Solier. Becoming partly cloudy today. Could have some light rain at times. A high of 54, 30% chance of rain today. Clear tonight, a low of 27. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 51. Mostly clear tomorrow night, a low of 32. Sunny on Saturday with a high of 54. Right now, 44 degrees at 9:04. Jim Turpin's up next with today's edition of Penny for Your Thoughts on Newstalk 1400.
Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go stop and say hello. On the corner is a banker with a motor car. The little children laughing him.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. I'll be here until 11 o'clock today. This first hour is an open line and a conversation after 10 o'clock with Kay Green. That will be regarding the upcoming production of The Nutcracker opening tomorrow night at Cranert. Tomorrow, my guest is Lincoln historian Guy Fraker. He's in town for the dedication of the president's portrait to be hung in the county courthouse at 2:30. Also talk about his new book. And the guy also will be talking tomorrow night over in Muhammad. We'll talk about that a little more today. But In the news today, have you noticed sexual harassment allegations? It's pushed other news off the front pages. And dominating on television newscasts, they all lead with that. And there's one of the actresses who has made some allegations against Harvey Weinstein that she says she plans to turn this into a movie. That's the way things go in Hollywood, and we'll wait for that. North Korea's new ballistic missile described as really big, and the little fat guy that's running things over there is flexing his muscles. As I've said many times, this guy really worries me. I don't know about you, but he is scary. The Russia investigation continues as Jared Kushner meets with the special counsel of Robert Mueller's team. Greg Jarrett says the investigation imperils American-Russian relations, jeopardizing the livelihood of the country. And more Trump tweets angering the Brits. Trump and the Republicans, though, are on the verge of a major victory on rewriting the tax code. And the U.S. economy was doing better during the summer than first thought. And did you see the former Bosnian Croat general swallowing poison right on camera? A judge upheld his 20-year sentence for war crimes, and he was stood up and said, "I do not agree with your judgment or with what you've just had to say." He pulled out some poison pills or a vial of something and put it into his mouth and keeled over and died. Right in the courtroom, he was causing all kinds of bedlam, people running in all directions. Very, very strange. You don't see this on television very often, do you? And here locally, the local care centers are taking precautions against an outbreak of whooping cough. Jim Dye writes, "What can your cell phone tell others about you?" This from his column in today's News Gazette. And did you hear the story about the man who used a potato chip bag to help him skip work and go out and play golf instead for several years? Well, they finally caught him, and he's been fired. This is a very interesting story of how what he was doing and how the potato chip bag was helping him, but I'll get to that as we go along this morning. Roger Gentry in Clinton writes to the editor about Stephen Kaufman, advises Kaufman to move to Florida and stay there. The House of Representatives has approved a required anti-sexual harassment training. And a feel-good story for today, and a good for Uber as well. A Uber driver returns $700 to a customer. And here's a quote. This is one of the best I've heard in a while. "Some people who run companies know the cost of everything and the value of nothing." So think about that one for a while. To the phones we go for Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Well, Jim, how are you? I haven't talked to you for a long time.
Hey, I'm glad you called. What's going on?
Jim, I'm just recalling the 50s up in Oglesby, Illinois, which is about 100 and some miles from Champaign, and listening to you do Illinois sports on WILO-FM.
Yeah, that was quite a long time ago, but I remember that very well. It was like it was yesterday, really.
what years were those?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
it had to include 52, didn't it?
1952?
Yeah.
No. It was a little later than that, but not much later. I'd have to look that up. I don't know. I worked for WILL for a while, when I lived in Springfield, I would drive back and forth and do the games. It was a lot of fun, but it was a very difficult too. And I had no home games because I had to drive over here every home game.
Well, you inspired my father to buy an FM set, and that was very, very early. It was regarded as a medium for classical music, and that's it, period. And you guys did the sports, and we put up a big antenna, and we aimed it at Champaign, and we were the only ones, I'm sure, who up in the LaSalle Peru Oglesby area were getting live Illinois sports. And you did such a good job. I have a vivid scene at the end of a very tight game. I think it was basketball. And my father and I were listening, and it got so tight it was down to a shot or so. And we noticed that we were both leaning so far forward in our chairs that we ended up on our hands and knees on the floor. And
you are really a fan.
Oh, boy. That's not much of a secret, really. But he was a true blue Illini, even though he was an orphan and didn't get a chance to go to school. He told me once, he was a professional trombone player and a darn good one, and he would always be hired by the big bands that came through LaSalle to fill out the section. You know, they only traveled with the core of their dance bands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he told me once, he says, Bob, if I'd had any sense at all, I would have put my trombone in the bus and gone down to Champaign. He said, I probably wouldn't have had more than enough money to stay a day or two in a hotel. But he said, by the time I got to the musicians local, he said, I would have the ability to play my way through school. He said, I don't know why I didn't do it. But that's a comment to think of when people get on radio and TV and talk about just the pure value of peer pressure and mentoring to young kids who have no vision of what they're capable of. He was one of the smartest guys I ever knew. He could have played his way through law school easily. There are a couple of lifetime musicians who did that and practiced law in town. But anyway, that's purpose here is to thank you and congratulate you. You've had a very, very big impact, not only just on the people on this telephone show, but on your play-by-play. You gave us great joy, accuracy, and you you tried to be objective. I know in the current days,
yeah, I got nobody could be objective. I got a little orange and blue on some of those broadcasts. I do know that. I was a little one-sided, but I think people would have thought I was crazy if I wasn't cheering for the home team, right?
Well, that's right. It even says in the baseball song, root, root, root for the home team. Mm. And you made a whole generation of kids who came through this station. I'm still corresponding with some of them. I knew a lot of them from WPGU, and Ed and I have been friends for a long, long time. And so it was just my chance to congratulate you and take a bow.
I appreciate it very much, Bob. You're very kind. I'm glad you had some enjoyment. Those were fun days, and there are certainly a lot of people. I've heard all kinds of stories about the early days where people had to get in their car and drive up to the highest hill around so they could pick up the broadcast. It's thankfully a lot different than that now. But thanks so much for your call. It means a lot to me. I appreciate it. Let's go to Zoe. Hi, Zoe.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I am good. What's going on with Zoe?
Good. I just was thinking about this Congress putting in this sexual harassment training, and it occurred to me that ladies and gentlemen, if they are ladies and gentlemen, do not need that. They know how to behave.
Yes,
they know.
Yes, they do.
Not to put their hands certain places. They know to pull out chairs for ladies. I'm old-fashioned. And I just want to recommend a book, and I do want to hear your comment on that, because I know you don't need sexual harassment training. You would never harass a lady or anybody
in that way. I hope not. But
no, you wouldn't. You've been...
On the one hand, though, lots of things have changed when people get to my age. I remember very well the days when we were growing up, and you'll find people now of this age, or maybe a little bit younger, that if they would have an affection for somebody that like worked in the office, and they would say, "Well, thank you, sweetheart," or "honey," or something. That was common practice for a real long time, and then I don't know when it changed. But you do that now, and then you're liable to have an allegation against you.
Oh, I know. I think, you know, even though I think I'm torn on that, because while I think it depends for me, I never minded people saying things like that. On the other hand, there are people that find it condescending, and I understand that. But personally, I don't think that's in my book. Some people might not care for it, but I don't consider it necessarily sexual harassment. Now, if people are using verbal innuendo and they're trying to, I've seen that happen, mm-hmm. where that's a form of harassment, I think.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy to tell the difference, though.
Right. I do, too. But I want to recommend a book.
Okay.
And in fact, I don't know whether you're going to be on longer enough that you might want to get this fellow on, and you might be able to on the phone. His name is Greg Jackson, G-R-E-G-G, I believe. I think that Greg has two. And it's called, wait a minute, let me make sure I get the title correctly. Hang on a second. 40 Rules to Help Boys Become Men.
Oh.
And he's a very, very nice fellow. He's easy to talk to. You might enjoy him. He had another book, too, which was really good for boys. And I bought it for a couple of my nephews. And anyway, I think you really like him.
Okay. Well, thank you. Appreciate the information. Let's go to Rick. Good morning, Rick.
Well, hi, Jim. It was interesting you talking with one of the first callers about your early broadcasting days doing the Illinois game. And I miss the old WILL broadcast booth at the top west side of Huff Gym. I'm sure you spent many happy hours in that booth.
No, I never did.
Oh, really? Oh, you weren't in there.
No, I don't know when people broadcast from there, but I never did. We did the broadcast from what was, I would call, the first row of the balcony of Huff.
Oh, okay.
And, which was a much better seat, by the way. That old booth up there was a long way from the floor, and they tell me it was hot and stuffy, and it's kind of small. But that booth stayed in the Huff for years and years. I don't know when they took it out.
Well, it's of course gone now. But someone said that they took the sign off the front of it and gave it back to the radio station. You know, just to keep. I don't know if it's in their lobby or you know where it is, but that's what someone told me, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, the WILL carried the games for a real long time. It was a man named Frank Schooley who was, I guess he was a director of broadcasting and also an instructor in the journalism school, the radio television portion of it. And he was very big on sports. And then they got another person in as a director of broadcasting. That's probably not the right title, but a person in charge of programming. And he said, no more sports. We're buying more classical music. So that's what they did.
Yeah, well.
That was the end of it.
Yeah, Frank Schooley was a nice man. He was my advisor in my my undergraduate years there, and I remember he had an office at the end of the hall right by where WILL was in Gregory Hall.
That's exactly right. I spent many hours in there. He was my advisor as well. Hey, appreciate it, Rick. Thank you so much for your call. Got a lot of quick calls there. It's 9:21 already, and we better take our first break here, Mr. Bond, and we'll come right back.
Hi, I'm Max with MX Electric. I wanted to take a moment to tell you about my company. I'm a proud veteran, and I've been an electrician for over 23 years, serving the community for over 15. No matter the size of your electrical project, we want to be the company you turn to. Please call or text Nikita today at 217-359-7293 or visit us at mxelectric.net to schedule your appointment today. And always remember, relax, call back, 217-359-7293.
This is a taxpayer alert. Illinois' pension crisis is crushing the state, but a solution is right under state lawmakers' noses. For years, thousands of state university employees in Illinois have chosen to enroll in a 401k-style retirement plan that take politicians out of the retirement business, protect taxpayers, and give government workers a retirement they can control. To learn more, go to illinoispolicy.org. Brought to you by the Illinois Policy Institute.
The place for Illinois basketball fans after every game is the Fasteners Etc. post-game show. Hi, I'm Scott Beatty. Join the conversation with me, Tim Dittman, and Michael Kaiser after every game right here on News Talk 1400. We always welcome your calls on the PNC Bank fan line. Or send us a text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Plus, we keep you up to date with the Body and Soul scoreboard. It's the Fasteners Etc. post-game show after every Illini basketball game right here on News Talk 1400 and WDWS.com.
Fall is a great time for weekend getaways to your favorite Florida destinations. Central Illinois Regional Airport offers Allegiant travel packages that can help you find the perfect spot for your getaway. Traveling nonstop to Tampa St. Pete from Central Illinois Regional Airport means the convenience of free parking, flying from close to home, and spending more time at your vacation destination. Allegiant is now taking reservations through next May, so you can get that fall, winter, or spring break vacation booked now. Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, your best choice for air travel. Find out more at Sira.com.
Kick off the holiday season in downtown Tuscola this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the annual Christmastown celebration. Come to downtown Tuscola Friday night for free carriage rides. Visit the holiday vendor fair at the community building on Friday and Saturday with over 40 vendors offering unique and one-of-a-kind items. The event also features the annual Santa Chase 5K Runner Walk, a Christmas parade, as well as breakfast with Santa at the Douglas County Museum. Saturday afternoon will feature a performance by the Kitchen Band at the community building. For a full schedule, visit Tuscola.org.
On campus, there's a large parking lot next to a small building. But the small building is very important because inside you can purchase the freshest locally grown beef, pork, lamb, and eggs. Yes, we are the U of I College of Aces meat sales room, open 3 days a week to provide you the finest meats. Stop by and see us Tuesday and Thursday afternoons, 1 to 5:30, and Friday mornings, 8 to 1. The U of I meat sales room at the corner of Florida Avenue and Maryland Drive in Urbana.
For more information, send an email to meatandeggsale@illinois.edu.
On the News Hour this afternoon, Savoy President Joan Dykstra is our guest, plus the latest local news, sports, and weather from ABC Heating and Air. Join us at 4 this afternoon on DWS.
Phone number here is 356-9397. The Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Ironically, our good friend Chuck has sent us some memories of this date in history. He does that from time to time, and he just got one in this morning. Pretty interesting always. Thanks, Chuck, for that. In 1958, the News Gazette announced the inauguration of one of the nation's most popular columns for teenagers. The column is called Teenage Mail, written by Mrs. Dorothy Ricker. Column begins on the Monday, December the 1st, 1958. 1965, the 65-66 University of Illinois basketball team was preparing to open their season with a game against Butler. Coach Harry Combs and Captain Don Freeman lead the Illini. We all began the playing Butler the first game of the season, I don't know how many years, when Tony Hinkle was the coach at Butler. Tony Hinkle coached everything at Butler, not just basketball. He coached all the sports. Horace Schmidt, I remember coached his first game at Butler, and Illinois won. And he said after the game, "I'm very thankful. That just shows that I won't lose every game." The phones were ringing on November 30th, 1971, from Penny for Your Thoughts. The topics were these: the types of signs being used at the bus stops by the MTD. One woman called to complain, "Have you noticed those crazy new bus signs that look like an Indian design? Why don't they just use a plain old-fashioned sign that says bus stop?" I don't know. I don't remember those signs. Maybe we still have them. I don't know. Another caller was concerned about Christmas trees. A woman who wanted to know how to choose an artificial tree. She said, "The only reason I'm buying one is that someday there won't be any trees." Well, she needn't worry about that. The trees are still coming right along. Another person called in response to an article in the Monday papers regarding fines from $1 to $500 for smoking in retail stores. Didn't know that back in those days you could get a fine for smoking in a retail store. Another caller complained that cab drivers no longer open the doors for their passengers as a courtesy. Well, I haven't been in a local cab for a while, but I don't think they open the door for you now unless you're physically disabled and need help. And on this day in November 30th of 1971, a $16 million development and expansion program has been announced for Carl Foundation Hospital and Carl Clinic in Urbana. Capacity will reach 400 beds. That was 71. Lots of things have happened. Lots of expansion. The people that built those 400-bed facilities back then probably could not dream what it looks like at the Carl Foundation Hospital and Carl Clinic now. It's quite different. Mike is next. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, Jim. A couple of things. One, I historically go to all the football and basketball games. I did not go to the Northwestern game. And so I was watching it on TV, and the first image I saw of the Northwestern football helmets was, I know it's a Wildcat and all that, but the graphic almost looked as though it was a abstracted version of a Indian headdress, a chief. I don't know if anyone else saw what I did. Maybe that's just me, but
I watched that game, but I didn't notice that. You know, I'm a real old timer, but I kind of liked the uniforms that the teams traditionally wore when Michigan ran onto the field, and you still can tell it's Michigan because of their helmets, but their uniforms have changed drastically, and the University of Illinois has so many different uniforms, I don't know how many they have.
Well,
and, just to have the old orange and blue, and, you know, when your team comes out, you know that's your team.
Yes, we have orange, blue, we have white, the combinations. But now we've added the gray, so, and a lot of schools have added the gray. That must be just, I guess.
That's the end color this year, is it?
Yes.
Well, people tell me that we were wearing that because of Red Greens, the Galloping Ghost.
Right, right. Well, the other thing that,
I'm not going to have to hurry, Mike. I'm about to hit the news here, but go ahead, sir.
Well, one real quick thing. I've got a new title for Professor Kaufman.
Oh, is this something you can say on the air?
Yes.
All right.
The police of chief. You know, we have a chief of police, but he could become the police of chief. It's also PC, politically correct. So,
he seems to get his way a lot, doesn't he?
Well, that's unfortunate. He's in the minority, but he seems to be getting his way, so to me, he's the police of chief.
I get you. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
9:31 News Headlines with Brian Barnhart. Back with more Open Line on Penny right after that.
All right. Thank you, Jim. And good morning. We are at 9:31, 44 degrees here at the Downtown Radio Center. Our forecast in a moment. A journalist from Variety has told Good Morning America that accounts for more women alleging sexual misconduct by former Today Show host Matt Lauer being vetted. The person told GMA on Thursday today she and her colleague have been in contact with more women. Lauer has been fired by NBC amid sexual misconduct allegations. President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has been questioned by special counsel Robert Mueller's team of investigators about former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. The public has another chance tonight to weigh in on efforts to reform Champaign County's criminal justice system. The county's Racial Justice Task Force will present its findings at 6:30 at the Champaign Public Library. Among the group's 31 recommendations, creating a permanent body to oversee reforms, more training for law enforcement on diversity and implicit bias, and a review of law enforcement hiring practices to increase diversity. And new federal data showing that Illinois consumers are purchasing health insurance plans from the Public Affordable Care Act exchange faster this year than they did last year. The Dow is up 137, the NASDAQ up 40, the S&P is up 11. The Dow Jones, by the way, over the 24,000 mark now. Spot or two of light rain today, becoming partly cloudy, a high of 54. Chance of rain at 30%, clear tonight, a low of 27. Sunny tomorrow and 51, sunny on Saturday, and a high of 54. Right now in Champaign-Urbana, 44 degrees, 9:33. I'm Brian Barnhart in the DWS Newsroom. We have more with Jim Turpin. Penny for your thoughts next.
Thursday's happy hour at Scotty's Brewhouse is now the place to be for all Illini and sports fans. Join me, Scott Beatty, and Matt Daniels for a live broadcast of Sports Talk on WDWS from 5 to 6. And Scotty's will feature half-price cheese pizza, $2 well drinks, and $2 cans of Miller High Life, Old Style, Hams, and PBR. Join the happy hour fun every Thursday with me and Matt Daniels at Scotty's Brewhouse on South Neal for Sports Talk, 5 to 6 on News Talk 1400.
The first 25 people to come in will receive a free appetizer gift card. Good throughout December.
Hi, this is Scott Beatty inviting you to listen in at 4:20 on select Thursdays for Club Cranert. Join Cranert Center's Bridget Lee Kalfas, special guests, and me as we discuss the entertaining and exciting performances planned for the coming month. From well-known headliners in the Great Hall to free afterglow concerts, Cranert Center for the Performing Arts provides a place for revelry, reflection, and fun. It's Club Cranert with Bridget Lee Kalfas, select Thursdays at 4:20 on News Talk 1400 DWS.
When someone is in need of hospice care, time is precious, and Transitions Hospice is here to help. Hi, it's Kirk. Needing hospice means allowing patients and families the opportunity to experience the final stage of life together. At Transitions, we do this by providing individual care for individual needs and empowering those we serve through our 24-hour nursing care, social services, and chaplain support. You'll find with Transitions Hospice, you are not alone. You're in charge of your life. Let us help you find freedom through acceptance, because acceptance does not mean giving up, and neither does hospice. It's about living. TransitionsHospice.com.
There's a time for work, there's a time for play, there's a time to do things you don't do every day, there's a place to go for tools and machines, and people with knowledge about these things. We've been here since 53 to meet your rental needs.
Regardless of your project needs, Rental City saves you the expense of buying, storing, and maintaining tools you use only occasionally or even once in a lifetime.
Visit us on Mattis Avenue, just north of the I-74 overpass in Champaign.
Or call us at 359-6127.
Whatever and whenever you need it.
Rent it from Rental City.
Hey, it's Scott Beatty. Join me for Sports Talk tonight with Matt Daniels. We're live at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. Our guest, TJ Wheeler. Join us tonight at 5 o'clock.
We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. We're at 356-9397. Text us at 351-5357. And we go to Scott. Good morning, Scott.
Hi, Jim. Good morning. Sorry, I was closing my office door, so it's a little quieter. I'm calling about one of my pet peeves, the editorial page on Sunday. Two of the last 3 weeks, I believe, has had a long editorial on the tax reform proposals by the Bipartisan Council for Budget and Tax Policy. That's what they advertise themselves as. I guess my first bone of contention is, Jim, if they say bipartisan, what does that mean to you?
Well, bipartisan is supposed to mean that both sides are working together and in agreement.
Right. Some kind of neutral joint venture.
Right.
Reading their articles, I was having a lot of trouble believing that this was actually any kind of contribution from anything other than an activist group. And if you go to their website, their first thing is that we are working for social and economic justice.
Ooh.
Which, yeah, they're progressive. They're left of Bernie Sanders. But what really aggravates the heck out of me, and particularly with economics, and that was my field, is when they're twisting information to present a conclusion that's just flat out wrong. They're just lying. The case in this article was contention that from the 60s to the 80s, every time taxes were raised, that gross domestic product went up. And what they conveniently ignored was the 70s. In the 60s, the reason that GDP improved so much was because JFK, a Democrat who would never survive in the Democratic Party today, dropped the top income tax rates dramatically, and the economy surged. Taxes gradually rose to the point when Carter was in, and you can remember this is when I was just getting out of college, when mortgage rates were 14% and 15%.
Yep.
And CDs were, you know, anywhere from 12% to 17%. Remember those days?
Yes, indeed.
And the stock market was a giant U. There was no production whatsoever. And Reagan won largely because of Carter's great malaise speech. The 70s were awful and tax rates were high. Reagan came in and dropped the tax rate significantly, and the economy surged once again. But when you average all three of those decades, you can target just the 80s and say that their production was a little bit less than what it was in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And it's just an intentional lie. And the last part I wanted to point out that seems to be so conveniently forgotten, the progressives will often talk about the fact that when Reagan came into power during his tenure, the budget deficit went up. And it did. But what increased dramatically when they dropped taxes was receipts to the government. Receipts increased dramatically. It's just that Congress allocated $1.80 for every dollar that we got in increased revenue. It wasn't money coming in that was the issue. That was successful. It was the money going out. But anyway, it's one of my pet peeves. I need to write a more detailed letter to the editor to rebut it. But at the very least, I wanted a chance to talk to you, so thank you.
Well, I'm glad you did, Scott. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. And, of course, they're hassling with rewriting the tax code now. Anna Wall is next. Hello, Anna Wall.
Good morning, Mr. Turpin. And I'm really enjoying your newspaper this morning, what I'm reading. But I'm calling to thank this young lady who is Desiree Woodson, who identifies herself as an Afro-American, for the article she has today, Crime Witnesses Must Come Forward. I'm glad that she's calling to the attention that some of the atrocities that are going on in the Afro-American community, and nobody's really paying that much attention to it or trying to do anything about it. So I want to thank her, and I'm sure you have read it. But just the opening paragraph where she says, since 2014, there have been 19 violent deaths in Champaign, some of which offenders have still gone unfounded. So I'm glad that she has written this, because sometimes people get the impression that Afro-Americans are oblivious to the atrocities which are going on within our own race. And that's why I'm calling.
Okay, well, thank you. Is this a letter to the editor? Is that where you found that?
Yeah, it is from our readers, mm-hmm. and it's on the opinions page.
All right. Oh, thanks for calling that to our attention. I didn't see that, Ann Wall. Appreciate it. We're at 356-9397. Text us at 351-5357. Eric says in a text, college basketball, the ACC is 11-2 straight up, 9-3-1 against the spread so far versus the Big Ten. Some challenge. The ACC is making a very clear case for national superiority so far in the annual Big Ten-ACC head-to-head battles. The Big Ten is becoming exposed as likely pretenders on almost a game-by-game basis. Well, you're right about that. The Big Ten has won twice in all the games that have been played, and the games are winding down. And this is ACC's year. But what does that mean? That means they have perhaps better teams this year. The matchups were more favorable, etc. That thing changes. The last few years, it's been all Big Ten. But that is not the case this year, that is for sure. Good game last night down at Bloomington, Indiana. Don't know if you watched that or not. While I'm at it, let me just put in a plug, not that they need it from me, but Dan Shulman and Jay Billis, in my book, are the best two people calling a basketball game, college basketball games this year. We've got Vital, and we've got Bill Walton, and we've got Dan Dockage, and we've got a bunch of other people, but just listening to those two guys, Billis gives you a lot of good information, and Shulman sticks right to the game. He tells you who's got the ball, how much time there is to go, how many fouls on the team, what the score is, just little basic things that from most television announcers these days you do not get. Now, you get that if you listen to the radio. Brian does a terrific job in doing that, and he gets good comments from Dion and from Doug Altenberger. But, boy, the TV guys, for the most part, don't do that, and I don't care what Bill Walton thinks about the birth of the making of bridges. He was talking about that the other day. First bridge ever constructed. Get to the game. Listen to Shulman and Billis. A break here at 9:44. Phone lines open, 356-9397 after this.
On Thursday, December 7th at the Krannert Center, bring the family for an evening of joyous holiday music. Join the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra and Maestro Stephen Altop for Music of the Season, featuring the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, the Central Illinois Children's Chorus, and a visit from Santa. The Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra Holiday Concert. For tickets, call Krannert Center or visit cusymphony.org.
The place for Illinois basketball fans after every game is the Fasteners Etc. post-game show. Hi, I'm Scott Beatty. Join the conversation with me, Tim Dittman, and Michael Kaiser after every game right here on News Talk 1400. We always welcome your calls on the PNC Bank fan line. Or send us a text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Plus, we keep you up to date with the Body and Soul scoreboard. It's the Fasteners Etc. post-game show after every Illini basketball game right here on News Talk 1400 and WDWS.com.
It's the Philo Country Music Christmas Show, Sunday, December 3rd, 3 p.m. at the R.E. Franks Meeting Center in downtown Philo. The December 3rd show is hosted by Chrissy Rigsby and yours truly, Ed Clem, with special guests Ron and Cindy Petticord Crawford. On stage with Dyke, Dave, and the whole Country Show gang. Come on and enjoy this Branson-style live music show. Tickets are only $10 per person. As always, free popcorn courtesy of our own Kenny and Clem Farms, farming for generations. Join us for the Philo Country Music Sunday, December 3rd, 3 p.m. at the R.E. Franks Meeting Center in downtown Philo.
It's the Big Ten ACC Challenge for the Illini women as they host Virginia Tech 7 o'clock tonight, right here on DWS from the State Farm Center.
Well, as I said at the top of the hour, the sexual harassment allegations has pushed other news off the front pages. And Julie Wirtha writes a big story in the Gazette today, front page story. Who's next? High-profile sexual misconduct accusations prompt conversations about what constitutes harassment. But the U of I legal experts say recent cases clearly cross the line. And she points out that no politician has been forced to step down. Many have been charged, but none have been forced to step down. But almost every major media network has fired a top name. Fox News, Bill O'Reilly, CBS, Charlie Rose, NBC, Matt Lauer, and Mark Halperin, and National Public Radio, Michael Oreskes. And let's see what else they have to say here. When does the ABC shoe drop? Ask Heather Tucker, the director of the communications at the U of I College of Media. She said, I feel like I'm just waiting for the next thing to happen. And how nervous is any man who's ever said anything to anybody? Fast-moving story has prompted conversations about what constitutes harassment and how quickly allegations can end a career. Labor lawyers refer to box walking. You ever heard of that term, box walking? Matt Lauer got box walked today. What happens is that a company says you're fired. They put your belongings in a box and they walk you out the door. Box walking. Holden, a former journalist and media lawyer, said the media's role isn't to figure out who the winners and losers are if Matt Lauer loses his job and there's credible allegations against him, and NBC did their due diligence, that's on them. As a lawyer, it gives me some pause that there may not be the presumption of innocence and due process. He also shared a story of how Garrison Keillor once propositioned a reporter that Holden had sent to cover his appearance in Palm Springs. Probably a lot of nervous male bosses out there. You reap what you sow. It's a very long story. It's in the front page of the News Gazette today. And there are plenty of others. Jimmy Fallon. At one time, I would just never, ever miss Jimmy Fallon. That was the way I kind of closed out my evening, listening to his monologue, because it was very funny and sent me off to bed feeling good. Not so anymore. It's all about Trump. And story today about that. While today broke the news of Matt Lauer's firing, Jimmy Fallon wrapped up the night on the same network. He said, also getting lit tonight? The HR rep over at NBC. Talking about a Christmas tree first. Also getting lit tonight, the HR rep over at NBC. And if you're wondering where in the world is Matt Lauer, he's probably at a bar with Charlie Rose. Now, Lauer and Fallon were on the same network. Lauer was fired by NBC News Wednesday after that accusation of sexual harassment. By the end of the day, multiple women had come forward with stories of inappropriate behavior. One former staffer claimed Lauer gave her a sex toy as a present, including an explicit note about how he wanted to use it on her. Another report alleged that Lauer exposed, I can't go on to read any more of that story. Probably read too much already, but Lauer did say that he is Truly Sorry. He's a 20-year NBC anchor, had been a central driver of the morning program's success in ratings and in profits. He says, "There are no words to express my sorrow and regret for the pain I have caused others by words and actions. To the people I have hurt, I am truly sorry. As I am writing this, I realize the depth of the damage and disappointment I have left behind at home and at NBC. Some of what is being said about me is untrue or mischaracterized, but there is enough truth in these stories to make me feel embarrassed and ashamed. I regret that my shame is now shared by the people that I cherish dearly." Lauer was axed on Wednesday just hours after a secret meeting where an alleged victim and her lawyer told NBC Brass her story of inappropriate sexual behavior from the longtime Today show host. The alleged incident took place in the 2014 Sochi Olympics. Lauer's co-anchor, Savannah Guthrie, and Today colleague, were given the rough task of breaking the news to viewers on Wednesday. Again on Thursday, the duo had to discuss the Lauer news. Allegations included claims that Lauer had a button under his desk that enabled him to close and lock the door to his office. So get a woman inside the office and push the button. And on Wednesday night, Lauer's Today hosts had to appear on the air with wide smiles for the annual tree lighting in Rockefeller Center. They made no mention of Lauer's absence, though he was set to host the show with them. He was reportedly quickly scrubbed from the pre-taped portion of the show ahead of the broadcast. And we go to Henry. Hello, Henry.
Yeah, hey, Jim. How you doing?
I'm good. What's up with Henry?
Well, you know, with your lead in, I could pick some of these low-hanging fruit and just, you know, the whole cesspit of liberalism in some of these places. And I know there's some conservatives who engage in this kind of behavior, but, I mean, from Hollywood to the media to, you know, I'm sure academia is going to come under fire at some point because there's a lot of stuff that goes on there. But really what I wanted to talk about was Stephen Kaufman and just what a thorn in the flesh this guy is. Like most Americans, my bloodline, I'm a mongrel of sorts, but I am one quarter Native American. My grandmother was a Alabama Coushatta and also Cherokee in East Texas, and she married a German immigrant in the early 1900s, and so that made my father half Native American, and we always kind of joked that's probably why he liked to do a lot of deer hunting and things like that. But I remember the powwows that we used to go to, not frequently, but we did on occasion, to the Alabama Coushatta Reservation. That's like 17, 20 miles east of Livingston, which ironically is where my mother was born, was in Livingston, but we never established any Native American, her ancestry. It was mostly...
Oh, okay, there's your, that's your background, so you've got some credence here to talk about what Professor Kaufman has to say. Well, what do you think
Absolutely.
About him?
Absolutely. I don't know why that white eye, why he has assumed the role that he has. I'm not sure. Are you aware of any Native American blood in his...
No, I hadn't. No, I don't know, but I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I don't know why that white man thinks that he can. Basically, I think that if nothing else, he is erasing memories of the. It's almost like cultural genocide of trying to rid our culture of any Native American imagery under the pretext or the pretense of claiming, you know, cultural appropriation and all that kind of nonsense. And I'm very kind of resentful of that. Frankly,
I agree with you on that. I think that's exactly what he's doing.
That's exactly what he's doing, and that's usually how the left operates. So, you know, just like affordable health care.
Well, I just assume to keep politics out of this, but the fact that Professor Kaufman and Jay Rosenstein and others, I don't know, maybe their heart's in the right place, but it sure seems to me that with each time, we had a powwow here recently. Did you know that out at the at a football game across the street from Green?
Yeah, I wasn't able to attend that. But
yeah, but anyway, that was there, and there was some talk at yes, that's the kind of thing that we need to keep going at the University of Illinois to preserve the history. And it wasn't very long before that was a question as well. No, we can't do anything about that. We can't have a powwow at halftime. That would be, I don't know what it would be, but it would be something that a handful of people wouldn't like.
It's the kind of stuff that thought police, that's when I think of Stephen Kaufman, I think of a thought police. And it's almost borderline Orwellian in a way. And I really resent the fact that this university can't celebrate a part of the past. And I know you've spoken about this, and a lot of people have spoken about this, a part of the past that made the Midwest what it was. I mean, with the Illini Confederation many of those Indian tribes ended up moving down in East Texas.
Well, how about the name of our state and the names of several of our cities, et cetera, et cetera? There's quite a history there, and there's some of us that don't want it to go away.
I also have a friend who's I think he's at least half Native American, and I mean he's outraged by this whole thing too, And it's interesting. In fact, there was yet another, I won't call it a study, but it was a survey. And again, 90% of Native Americans are not offended by the sort of imagery represented by Chief Illiniwek, because they saw it as more of a symbol than they did a mascot. And I know that's what a lot of people have been saying here locally. It was a symbol. It was imagery. And it was not a crude mascot that was meant to mock. It was meant to honor. But it doesn't matter to thought police like Stephen Kaufman.
Yeah, appreciate your call, Henry. Thanks so much. Well, there's another one. A lot of people feel just like he does, and I don't know what's going to be done about it. Nothing would be my guess that the next time this comes up, whether it's at a University of Illinois board meeting or wherever, there will be a handful of protesters, and Stephen Kaufman will apply to the board to be one of the speakers during the public session of the board meetings, which they have frequently, and he will speak again, like he has done for years and years and years. And he likes to call himself a professor emeritus, and indeed he is. And there are a lot of people that indicate that he has done in his academic work some very wonderful things. And I wish he was in a position where we could continue to admire him for that, but by his own actions, it has turned the other way. This is WDWS in Champaign-Urbana.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. A day after he lost his high-profile job, an apology statement from Matt Lauer was read on NBC's Today Show by Savannah Guthrie.
There are no words to express my sorrow and regret for the pain I have caused others by words and actions. To the people I have hurt, I am truly sorry.
CBS's Jim Taylor says accusations from several women have now emerged.
At least two more women with graphic stories. One says Matt Lauer dropped his pants in her presence. Another female co-worker says he sexually assaulted her until she passed out in his office, which he had locked remotely. The network has said executives there taken totally by surprise, but Variety magazine spent a couple of months investigating. It says plenty of high-level people at NBC were aware of Lauer's conduct.
Michigan Congressman John Conyers, who's denied sexual impropriety allegations from former staffers, is hospitalized for what his family says is a stress-related illness. One of his accusers, Marion Brown, on NBC's Today Show, said she was repeatedly asked for sex.
A single mother with four kids. I had to raise my kids. You know, I got gratification in the job, servicing the people. It was something that I enjoyed. And I needed an income. So I endured it.
Brown says she was eventually fired for refusing to go along. A fifth woman has come forward to claim inappropriate touching by Minnesota Democratic Senator Al Franken. Franken has vowed to stay in office. Entertainment mogul Russell Simmons says he's stepping away from his business interests amid sexual misconduct allegations. We're live in L.A. with CBS's Steve Futterman.
And Steve, the latest allegation against Russell Simmons accuses him of offering a ride home to a young screenwriter. Instead of taking her home, however, Simmons allegedly took her to his apartment against her will and had sex with her. This all took place in the early 1990s. Simmons says his memory of the incident is different, but he does apologize for being thoughtless and insensitive.
And good morning. I'm Brian Barnhart in the DWS Newsroom. Local news at 10:04, 44 degrees here at the Downtown Radio Center. This update brought to you by the Gailey Eye Clinic. Gailey Eye Clinic, now an in-network provider for Health Alliance. Gailey Eye Clinic, focused on you. Well, the newly appointed ethics watchdog in Springfield told the alleged victim of sexual harassment by a lawmaker that she needed unlimited access to her cell phone and social media account. After pushback, the inspector general eventually backed off. Cole Launderbach has more. No injuries reported after a leaf burn got out of control in rural Piatt County Tuesday afternoon. Seymour Fire Chief Mark Nibling says Crews could see smoke as they pulled up to a home at 2386 County Road, 1500 East in Piatt County. A resident there reported he had been burning leaves and the flames got out of control and ignited two old vans and a propane tank. The flames also spread to the nearby woods before crews got them contained. Nibling says around 1.5 acres of land burned in total. He did not have a damage estimate. Spot or two of light rain we could have today, although plenty of sunshine right now. Becoming partly cloudy as the day goes on, a high of 54. 30% chance of rain later today. Clear tonight, a low of 27. Sunny tomorrow and 51. Clear tomorrow night, a low of 32. Sunny and mild on Saturday, a high of 54. Breezy and mild on Sunday, up to 57. 43 is the normal high, 46 last year, and again 54 today. I'm Brian Barnhart, 44 degrees currently at 10:06. Jim returns with hour number two. Penny for your thoughts on News Talk 1400 DWS.
And welcome back to hour number two of A Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. I'll be here until 11 o'clock this morning. This next segment of the show is going to be devoted to what the News Gazette calls a labor of love. In today's paper, this is Champaign-Urbana Ballet's Nutcracker Suite, the Nutcracker, which is opening tomorrow night. And I'm going to do this a little differently. I'm going to ask my two guests in the studio to tell people who they are, what role they are playing here, and why they're here. Why are you here? Why are you two lovely women in my studio this morning. What's going on here?
Well, good morning, Jim. I'm Kay Green, executive director of the Champaign-Urbana Ballet Company, and we're putting on the Nutcracker, which you just said opens up tomorrow night. And with me, Allie, introduce yourself.
Thank you so much for having us, Jim. I'm Allie Lewis, and I'm here to represent the board of the Champaign-Urbana Ballet. I'm the president of our board, and I also serve as the head wrangler backstage with all the little kids at the Nutcracker.
Tell people what the wrangler does.
Well, the head wrangler really relies on our volunteer parents who are back there helping out. We have Polly Chanel's mice and soldiers waiting for their turn to go on the big stage. Of course, our company dancers are the stars of the show, but when it's the little children's turn, they have their costumes all ready, their makeup is all set, they're waiting on the wings for their musical cue, and they are literally off and running sometimes.
And please get them back. It's time to go on, right? They're off running someplace other than where they should be, maybe.
That head wrangler is a huge position, Jim, because there's 75 children in that room that they're keeping contained for that two-hour period. You know, they're on and off the stage, both during their performance and then again for the curtain call. So it's quite a machine that runs in that room.
We're having a lot of fun. The children are really enjoying the performance.
So how many people in the cast all together?
There's 130 cast members.
And this is your 20th year?
This is our 20th year. Mm-hmm. Yes,
wow.
Been in this community for 20 years. The Champaign-Urbana Ballet Company opened with their first performance in 1998 with 16 cast members. They just did a part of the Nutcracker in the Champaign Public Library lobby. And so we've grown over the 20 years, of course.
Yeah, yes, you have.
To
you've been other places, too. You've been to the Virginia Theater?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And we still...
Parkland?
Yes, in Parkland College. And actually, we still perform in both of those places. We have our spring ballet at the Virginia Theater, and then we have a student production at Parkland, which is a lot of fun. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite an organization, and this story is something that people say... You know, this is the same story. This is the 20th time I've seen the Nutcracker. But why do people keep coming back?
Well, you know, some traditions are good to have, right? Some traditions, like a great hug, right? Some things you always want to see year after year, especially when you're kicking off the holiday season. It just kind of goes hand in hand, and we know that it's a tradition for lots of families here in Champaign. But there's also new things every year that I know our audience looks forward to. And this year, right, Allie, we're bringing back a little of the vintage Nutcracker, something from the old Nutcracker that happens at the end of Act One. And so I'm not going to give away that little surprise.
No spoilers here.
Right. So they'll be able to see that when they come in. And
some entire costumes have been reimagined. Our ribbon candy is all new this year, and our doll, and probably others that I'm forgetting about. We have costumes that are going to be up on the stage for the very last time.
Right.
So we're really reflective about the now and the then and the what's next because of the 20th anniversary.
And I guess I would say, too, that, you know, we work to involve the community. And an example of that is John Odom is one of our Nutcracker parents, and he's a teacher at Carrie Busey Elementary. And he and several of his students actually made the horse heads Calvary uses during the battle scene. And it was quite an experiment because they can't be too heavy because the dancers carry these around. You know, they're riding these horses across the stage. And so he involved these students, and they came up with this great model, and they poured the model and molded the model and painted the model. And now we have these six new horse heads. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't have them without John and his elementary students. So it's exciting for us.
Yep, the whole battle scene is just spectacular.
I see these they're something that you can carry now because it's only about 7 pounds. That's amazing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They look that way and actually can pick them up and go on to the
and leap through the air with them.
That's right.
That's what they do. They leap through the air with these horse heads.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Our cavalry is on the run.
Well, let's talk a little bit about when it is. We've already told people it's at the Krannert Center, which everyone knows, I think, is over on South Goodwin. And Why don't you tell me the play dates and give me some information about the tickets and anything else you'd like to say from a logistics standpoint.
You bet. So we open this Friday night, December 1st.
That's tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we have two performances on Saturday, a Saturday matinee and an evening show, and then a matinee on Sunday. And then we'll reopen again the next weekend, December 8th through the 10th, with the same schedule of Friday night, two performances on Saturday, and then a matinee on Sunday. And they can get their tickets by calling the Krannert office or online at krannertcenter.com.
I see in this story that Paul Wood wrote in today's paper about all the information. I guess there's a range of ticket prices. You can get like anything over at Krannert, I suppose.
Right. So we have adult prices. There are student prices and also youth pricing for tickets.
Mm-hmm. And the number over there is 333-6280. How does this, from a audience standpoint, you get a lot of people there? Are these shows in the past been sold out, or a lot of people come to them?
You want to speak to that, Allie?
Sure. Last year, the Nutcracker was sold out every single show. And sometimes something really magical happens in the intermission. Sometimes it actually snows outside. As the audience leaves the first act, where it just snowed on the stage, it can snow outside. And so it's sometimes just, it's so magical, you know, what's happening right in front of you. And then you have this little break, and then you come back for the second act. And I think that's why people keep coming back over and over again. And that's why it does often sell out. So with these two weekends, we're hoping there are plenty of tickets for everyone who wants to attend. But
Don't wait.
If you think you can go in line and get a ticket for your child, sometimes it's sold out and that's disappointing. So please call ahead and think about which weekend would work best for you.
So 333-6280, you can call, but you can also go online. So,
and, yes.
There is a role, and I don't know, I'm not as familiar with the Nutcracker as I should be, but there's a role in there that everybody seems to want to play, and it's always somebody from who's not a ballet person. And
are you talking about Mother Ginger?
I don't know.
Maybe would it be Mother Ginger?
I think it is.
Yes, and so
one of the chancellors at the U of I a few years ago played that role, right?
Several different guests have played Mother Ginger.
Mm-hmm. Mother Ginger. And so tell me about Mother Ginger.
Oh gosh, we have several guest artists this year as Mother Ginger. Let's see, we have Chris Kadanzarite from Ollie. Is playing Mother Ginger. Our friend Joe Murphy, attorney Joe Murphy, is playing Mother Ginger in honor of his good friend Mark Daly, who played the role years ago. And we lost Mark with the battle to cancer. And then the second weekend, we've got Taya Ross coming to play Mother Ginger. That's Mike Ross's wife. And she was one of our first Mother Gingers, along with Joelle McCulley, who's also returning to the role,
mm-hmm.
And John Dagher. So we're excited about those roles.
It sounds like there's a different one every
pretty
every
much.
Show.
In celebration of this 20th, we've recruited some of the old and some new. And the Polly Chanels will stay the same, but they'll have a different mother, different
yes.
nights.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, have we covered everything? What else do we need?
Well,
to,
I want to highlight that we have a live orchestra, and it's something really special for
yes.
dancers to be able to perform with live orchestra in ballet. And that's just a real jewel in our community to have this collaboration at Krannert.
Where does this orchestra come from? Is this a already an orchestra? There's just people that get together for this?
It's the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, the Symphony
yep.
Orchestra. Ooh,
yep,
wow.
They're there.
Yeah. Good for you.
We partner with them each year, and
yeah.
so we're happy to have them back.
You can't really beat the music of the Nutcracker. It's just so lovely.
It is. And, you know, Jim, I guess I would say that I know we all get so busy, especially this time of year. We're running, and our kids are so involved. I was, I'm a mother of two, and when I was raising my children, we were running to this basketball game or this practice or this Christmas concert, and it was just a crazy time of year. And I never stopped to take a breath, to take them and to expose them to this beautiful classical art. And my son was 28 when he came to the Nutcracker last year. And he's a sports guy.
That's the first time?
And the first time. And he said, oh, my gosh, Mom, I can't believe it. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. So I think people are so pleasantly surprised when they come to see the quality of the production, mm-hmm. and they get hooked because he's already wanting to come back this year. So it's fun, right? Mm-hmm.
It's just beautiful, from the costumes to the scenery to the music to the dancers themselves. And, of course, we have loads and loads of volunteers that are giving their time and their heart energy.
Yes. And they're in the labor of love.
About, we talked about the number of cast members. How many volunteers are actually involved in this?
Oh, my gosh. I'm just going to take a stab at this. I mean, I know there's over 100.
Definitely.
And you know, we're talking about over 1,000 volunteer hours that go into this, Jim, because we could not do it without our volunteers, mm-hmm. from the costumers to those that are wrangling to the folks working on the sets. You know, there is just so many of them. It truly is a labor of love, and they keep coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, even when their kids have danced it and their kids have moved on, you know, to have children of their own, they're coming back to volunteer, to put the dragon together. You know,
to be Mother Ginger again.
To be Mother Ginger again. So it truly is a family, I guess I would say.
That's right.
Yes.
Are you two ladies trying to tell me this is a big deal?
It's a big deal.
Right. Well, thanks for coming by and let me know about that. And I've got the information here. I can repeat the business about the tickets and the prices and all that. But the important thing to remember is get your tickets now.
Yes.
Right now. Otherwise, you might get left out.
Right.
It's the Champaign Urbana Ballet's Nutcracker, and it is the 20th time that they have performed this. It's over at Cranert, and call them up and get your tickets and go on over there. You have several play dates, and we'll repeat those for you as we go along this morning. But thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having us. Thanks,
we'll take a quick break here. We're coming right back. We'll have an open line the rest of the way up until 11 o'clock this morning. All right, phone lines open until 11 o'clock this morning at 356-9397. The Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. So you have something on your mind that you would like to talk about, a question or a comment, call us or send us a text. Tomorrow, the guest on my show during this same time period will be Guy Fraker. He's a Lincoln historian. He's here for a couple of things. First of all, the Champaign County is going to kick off its year-long celebration of the 200th anniversary of Illinois statehood by dedicating a photograph of President Lincoln at the county courthouse tomorrow. That will be at about 2:30, and Guy will be here for that. He'll also be talking about his new book. And then on, let's see, he's a retired Bloomington author and author of a book on Abraham Lincoln's early life as a circuit riding attorney in central Illinois. He's going to speak Sunday at the Museum of the Grand Prairie in Mahomet. He will talk about his newest book, A Guide to Lincoln's Eighth Judicial Circuit. This is published by the Southern Illinois Press. Copies of the book will be available for purchase and your inscription. This event will be 2 to 3:30 at the Museum of the Grand Prairie. That's just off Illinois 47 at Lake of the Woods near Mahomet. Fraker's new book is a guide to the 14-county area that Lincoln rode through in the 1840s and 50s. And he writes about that trip and talks about the circuit at that time and said that it would take Lincoln 10 to 12 weeks. There are places in Champaign, Vermilion, Piatt, DeWitt, Coles, Edgar counties that Lincoln visited, and descriptions of historical markers and sites in those counties. And this is what this book is all about. I've had a copy of Fraker's book for a while and really enjoyed looking through it. There are maps on there. If you know, a lot of people say, well, let's go travel on Route 66. So you get on 66 and that historic road, call it historic if you like. It's something that people like to do. And this is something that you don't have to go quite that far. You can just stay in Illinois and go through all these counties, and this book will show you the map, how to get there, and what you will see in each of the counties, along with historical markers and sites, et cetera. And he's author of the book called Lincoln's Ladder to the Presidency, the Eighth Judicial Circuit. And he writes in the book that Lincoln attended almost every session of court in Champaign County from its inclusion in the circuit from 1841 until his final appearance in October of 1859. Guy Fraker is a wonderful guest to have. I've had him on just a couple of times over the years, and this guy is really not only is he an authority on Abraham Lincoln, but the way he can go about telling you about it, he just paints a picture when he talks. And I hope you'll join us tomorrow at 10 o'clock when we talk to Lincoln historian Guy Fraker. He's really a good man and a lot of fun and a bright guy. In the meantime, we're going to break for the 10:30 news headlines here in just a moment. Then after that, we'll come back and get back on some of the topics that we mentioned at the top of the hour. And we said that the sexual harassment allegations have pushed other news off the front pages, and that is for sure. Talked about North Korea a little bit, the new ballistic missile. People in the United States who know about these things are describing this as in a term that at least some of us can understand. They say this is really big. And we talk about the Russia investigation, and Greg Jarrett says the investigation imperils American-Russian relations. There's a lot more stuff about Donald Trump's tweets angering the Brits, and as we go along, we'll learn more about Trump and the Republicans are on a verge, of a major victory on rewriting the tax code. So we'll see how that turns out as we go along. In the meantime, it's 10:30, and Brian Barnhart has the news headlines, and it won't be very long until he'll be heading up to a place where you have very fond memories, do you not?
Yes, Allstate Arena.
What happened to the Allstate Arena that you like so much?
Well, there was a remarkable game that still lingers on. I still get comments from people when I speak to people, and I know you ran into this when you speak to groups. What's your favorite game, or what do you remember, you know, the game you remember the most? And that's the one that always comes up, and everybody nods their head in agreement because
the Arizona game. That's a great miracle comeback against Arizona, and Darren Williams' three-point shot. I can see that in my mind right now. I got to clear some of those things out of there and think about some other things.
Yeah. Well, and there was somebody a few years ago gave me a photo of, I think Sports Illustrated had a shot from behind Darren Williams, and you can see the basket and the crowd behind him in varying stages of anguish or cheering as they're thinking it's good. The ball's in midair, and somebody, a friend of mine, took it and blew it up into a pretty and framed it for me. So it's it sticks in my mind quite a bit too, because I've got the photo to prove it. So
well, that's yours. Mine, of course, is the 89 Flying Illini and their march to the Final Four up at Minneapolis. Those two games, and those memories are nice to have, but. The reason you're going back there is not to relive Darren. I wish we had Darren and a couple of other guys from that that team to help us out a little bit, because we're playing a Northwestern team and just has not been off to the start that some people thought, but a good team nonetheless. A lot of people back from last year, and a team that's been ranked in the top 25.
Yep, all five starters basically back, the same five that they play pretty much throughout. I guess their issue, talking to our friend Dave Ennett, has been depth. They haven't had the same depth off the bench that, you know, they had maybe last year. But, it's basically the same team, the guys that play all the time. And it's interesting because Illinois beat them twice last year, even though they made the tournament. But and we do have a D. Williams on our team. It's DeMonte Williams, so that's close.
DeMonte had a nice little three-point shot at the end of that Wake Forest game the other night.
He did. Yeah, he's played well. Coach has been very happy with him and his development. But, yeah, they're playing at Allstate Arena because Northwestern's renovating their building. So they're out there for a year.
Well, let's go get them. We don't want, after the football game, we don't want them to have too many things to brag about. So, anyway, news headlines with Brian. I'll come back after that with more Open Line until 11 this morning.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Good morning, everybody. Our news headlines here on DWS. A journalist from Variety magazine telling Good Morning America that accounts for more women alleging sexual misconduct by former Today Show host Matt Lauer are being vetted. A political consultant says U.S. Representative John Conyers, a Democrat, has been hospitalized in Detroit. Sam Riddle saying today he spoke to Conyers' wife. Riddle says he doesn't know why the Democratic congressman was hospitalized or in his condition. He's 88 years old. He's been under pressure after multiple women who've worked for him accused him of sexual harassment. And embattled Minnesota Senator Al Franken facing a new allegation of inappropriately touching a woman after an Army veteran accused him of groping her during a USO Christmas tour in the Middle East more than a decade ago. Danville police looking for a man who took cash from a Subway restaurant yesterday. Commander Josh Webb says around 4:50 p.m., officers responded to the 100 block of South Gilbert Street, an employee reporting the robber implied he had a weapon and demanded money. The man left in a silver GMC Envoy eastbound on Bluff Street. Is a white male, around 25 to 30 years old, 6 feet, 200 pounds, brown hair with a gray sweatshirt, brown pants, and a baseball cap. You're asked to call police 431-2250 or Crime Stoppers at 446-TIPS if you have any information. Our forecast today, a spot or two of light rain before noon, becoming partly cloudy, a high of 54, chance of rain at 30%, clear tonight with a low of 27, and then tomorrow's high 51, mostly sunny and mild Saturday, and a high of 54. The Dow up over the 24,000 mark for the first time at 187.85 up. The NASDAQ up 42, and the S&P is up 16. Right now in Champaign-Urbana, we at 10:35 stand at 47 degrees. I'm Brian Barnhart in the DWS Newsroom.
All right, let's get something going here in the final 20 minutes or so. We're at 356-9397. Sarah sends us a text, which is very interesting. Listen to this and see what you think. Sarah says, I was remembering a situation when one of our graduate TAs was in charge of a lab class. He came in to talk to my boss about a problem in the lab. One of the young undergraduate female students was dressing in a more or less revealing manner that made him uncomfortable in the lab. His comments were kicked around a while by the associate head and the manager of the department. Essentially, nothing could be said to the young woman to tone it down some, because that would step on her rights. Was the young student practicing some type of harassment of her own? Very interesting, kind of the other side here, Sarah. And I don't know quite what to think about that. But do people have, like at the university, are there dress codes any place on the campus? I don't know. And as Brian just told you, the Dow broke 24,000 for the first time, another all-time record. If the Democrats had won the presidential election, the market would be down 50% from these levels, and then consumer confidence, which is also at an all-time high, would be low and glum. That's from Donald Trump. You remember Donald Trump. John McCain said that today he will support Senate Republicans' tax plan, a major sign of progress for GOP leaders as the party barrels toward a vote on the overhaul of the U.S. tax system by the end of the week. What do you think about the situation that Sarah describes here? Here's a guy that works in the lab, and sometimes those labs are not real large and spacious and all that, that you have to work nearby or crowded, perhaps. I don't know if this one was or not. But he said there was an undergraduate female student dressing in a more or less revealing manner, and that made him uncomfortable. His comments, she said, were kicked around by the associate head and the manager of the department. But essentially nothing could be said to the young woman to tone it down some, because that would step on her rights. And the question asked is, was the young student practicing some type of harassment of her own? What do you think about that? Or what do you think about actress Heather Graham turning her Harvey Weinstein harassment story into a movie? Heather says she was so frustrated by sexism in Hollywood and the dearth of female perspectives on screen that she made a movie about it. She thought showing her experiences on screen would be the only way to be heard in a system that favored the powerful, that silenced the powerless. But that was before the flood of sexual misconduct allegations surfaced against Harvey Weinstein and other Hollywood power players. Graham said on Tuesday, "My only recourse was writing and directing a movie about it because I thought it wouldn't change, but now it is. I really hope that it changes in a meaningful way." She told guests at Women in Film's sexual harassment panel Tuesday that she was inspired to share her own experiences with Weinstein after so many women came forward. She said she met with Weinstein in the early 2000s to discuss possible film roles when he implied that she could have her pick if she had sex with him. "I think that people that had these bad things happen to them all felt shame, and I think now we're rethinking it. And we're thinking, no, the shame is with the predator, not with the victim." She will release her film. It's going to be called Half Magic. Half Magic. And we talked about the late shows with Jimmy Fallon and others telling nothing but Trump jokes. And Fallon's ratings went down by some 20% right at the beginning of all this, when Colbert over on CBS started doing nothing but Trump stories, and all the people started watching him. So what did the people at NBC decide? Well, Fallon, you should tell these kind of jokes too. And that's what they've been doing. Here's a comment on all that. "The late shows haven't been funny since Johnny Carson retired." Well, there's something to that, too. This is about a guy. I told you about this in the headlines, but this is too good to be true. This is a man who used potato chip bag to skip work for years. Well, he's been fired. So, Ed Bond, listen to this now. If you want to skip out on a few hours, here's a way to do it. This is an Australian electrician. He was fired recently for using a potato chip bag to ditch work and play golf. And he actually got away with it for 2 years before he was caught. Now, if you only know that much of the story, you say, what on earth does this mean? How could this possibly happen? Well, according to Yahoo News Australia, 60-year-old Tom Colella was a senior union delegate, had worked as an electrician for the same company for 20 years. Then one day his employers got an anonymous tip saying that Colella had actually been playing golf while he was supposed to be at work at least 140 times during the past 2 years. Somehow, nobody had noticed his absence. Well, here's the kicker. Like other employees at his company, Colello had a personal digital assistant that tracked his assigned and completed job tasks and also had a GPS that monitored his location. So that's the way the company kept track of their employees. Colella allegedly hid his PDA in an empty foil potato chip bag and seal it up, which blocked the GPS signal and hid his location from his employers. All right. Edbon gives him a high five for that one. Colella initially claimed that the PDA had a glitch, but Australia's Fair Work Commission, a workplace tribunal, declared there was no reasonable explanation for this potato chip bag, and Colella allegedly used his chip bag to hide his location, but he was still able to update his job information as though he were completing assigned tasks. Somehow nobody noticed what was going on for a period of 2 years. But when they found out, they didn't say naughty, naughty. They said, what do they call that thing with Matt Lauer? Box something? Put his, say you're a fire, they put his stuff in a box and showed him out the door. Something a little more serious. I don't know what you think about this guy in North Korea, but he scares the devil out of me. They have test-fired a brand-new intercontinental ballistic missile. We talked about this yesterday, which experts said shows a major advance in technology and threat. Photos of this, called the Hwasong-15, released today by North Korean state media, shows a large, tall missile that appears to be significantly wider than the Hwasong-14, previously North Korea's most advanced missile, which was launched over Japan twice in July. They wanted to be able to hit all of the U.S., and they wanted something big to hit it with. This is David Shermer, who's a research associate at the James Martin Center for Non-Proliferation Studies. This seems to be on the surface level to be that missile. Experts have been analyzing and studying the images since their release. So what can we learn from them about North Korea's new weapon? Well, Michael Dutzman, also a research assistant, said, "This isn't just a big missile for North Korea. This is a big missile in general." Shermer said it was a lot bigger width-wise, especially the second stage, than the previous ICBM. ICBMs use multiple stages, each containing its own engines and propellant, to carry their payloads up into space around the Earth and then down toward their target. And this one, they said, would reach the east coast of the United States. North Korea has demonstrated significant potential range in previous missile tests. Some experts have cast doubt on whether the same distance could be achieved by a rocket carrying a heavy nuclear warhead. But North Korea seemed to clap back at those skeptics in a statement after Wednesday's launch, which said the Hwasong-15 was capable of carrying a super-heavy nuclear warhead. The system has much greater advantages in its tactical and technological specifications and technical characteristics than the Hwasong-14. So, scary guy. Well, let's see what this text says. This is from John. He says, "Jim, I have found the recent silence of two longtime co-workers of Matt Lauer, that would be Katie Couric and Meredith Vieira, to be very telling. Others have come forward stating how shocked they were to hear the news. Maybe Couric and Vieira weren't shocked at all." We'll take a break here at 10:50, 10 more minutes, and plenty of time if you have something for us today to share, something you would like to share with the audience, a question or a comment. Let me know after this break. Early on, Anna Wald called in to remind people to take a look at something written by Desiree Woodson of Champaign in today's From Our Readers section of the News Gazette. Crime Witnesses Must Come Forward is the headline. She talks about since 2014, 19 violent deaths in Champaign, some of which whose offenders have gone unfounded. As a member of this community, the African-American community specifically, I feel as though it is no longer in the hands of our police department to bring these families justice and peace. Many of our young African-American men are being killed by other African-American men from this same area. It is our job to speak up and to bring forth the knowledge to what is going on if we know something. Many of us are afraid of the stigma that comes with that snitching. My issue with that is what happens when it's your brother or father or your children's father, uncle, nephew, etc. Do you still hold on to that knowledge and fight fire with fire? I think not. We have become a shattered community, and rebuilding only comes with acting as a community. We need people to speak up, and we need to build our young men and women up to effectively communicate and most especially encourage and show them how to be effective leaders of social change. Very well said. I do not know Desiree Woodson, but that's what the law enforcement people have been saying for a real long time. Speak up. Tell us. We know there are witnesses. We investigate and we see 20 witnesses to a crime that's just happened. And we start interviewing them and they won't say anything. And we say, well, why not? Well, they're afraid. But Desiree says this needs to be stopped. Need to speak up. And Roger Gentry has spoken up against Stephen Kaufman. Roger is from Clinton. He says, once again, I am outraged that anyone would even listen to Stephen Kaufman. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt when I call him Mr. At the very least, he should check his facts, which he apparently never does. To be a professor, one would think that one's IQ would be high. Can't figure what happened to him. The professor said all the NCAA had banned all likenesses of the chief and other offensive symbols from use by all members. Really? I believe you look no further than Florida State. An Indian on a painted horse with a flaming spear he throws into the ground. If it is offensive to one member, it's offensive to all. No excuses. Why would the Big Ten Network even communicate with him? The picture of the chief face is on the lot of Illini flags. The one I read about was actually on a motorhome when they were tailgating. Professor, it would not be wise to come to all of my friends' motorhomes and request they remove their flags, unless you have good insurance, of course. Do us all a favor, take a trip to Florida and stay there. A wise man once said that we have become so politically correct, we are now no earthly good. It's Roger Gentry in Clinton. And, this is the other story I was looking for. This particular one, kind of interesting. This is in San Francisco, and you never know what's going to happen out there, do you? It's San Francisco is considering changing its parking meters to Uber-like like surge pricing, meaning that their prices would be based on demand, higher when there's high demand, and lower when there's less demand. The proposal, which would be a first for a major U.S. city, calls for changing the hourly rate of parking spots, depending on the time of day and location, to the nearest block. Parking is difficult to find in San Francisco, and local officials say this kind of pricing would be an environmentally friendly way to better match parking supply with demand to let drivers get into parking spaces faster. But some residents who are opposed say it would unfairly benefit people who have more money. And in their newest effort, Facebook has started to ask some users to upload a photo of their face to prove that they're a real person. Facebook will send the request to users who try to do things that bots typically do, that like create accounts and send friend requests and create ads and all those kind of things. After the photo is uploaded, Facebook then will use facial recognition technology to review it. Once the process is complete, Facebook says it will permanently delete the photo from its servers. This is quite a world we live in, isn't it? Hey, we'll do some more tomorrow. Another open line at 9 o'clock. Guy Fraker will be our guest at 10 here on WDWS in Champaign-Urbana. Hi again, everyone. This is Jim Turpin. Join me for a Penny for Your Thoughts on Friday. We'll have an open line at 9. At 10, we'll visit with Lincoln historian Guy Fraker. Hi again, everyone. This is Jim Turpin. Later this morning, beginning at 9 o'clock and going until 10, an open line on Penny. Then we'll visit with Lincoln historian Guy Fraker. Following that, more open line here on DWS.